Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Jody Anderson, wearing a new title from the last time I had you on the show. Jody, what's your new title?
I am now the director of the UAF, Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
How long have you been in this role?
I started on August 20th of 2018.
So a couple months under your belt. I'm glad to have you on the show to talk about what's going on the farm. What's the future of the farm? So many questions rolling around in my head. I know I've had you on the show before and you've told us about this, but it's a new year. It's a new show. Tell me about your connection to Alaska. How did you get here? Tell me about your connection to agriculture. Did you always know you wanted to someday be managing an experiment farm?
That's a great question. Simple answer, no. Let's see. So 15 and a half years ago, came up here with a job at UAF in Palmer, with curriculum development for the Cooperative Extension Service.
Okay.
And worked for them for a while and then transitioned over into the School of Natural Resources and Ag Sciences. Was an instructor for them, did research, worked on the community horticulture program. And so I was able to get around Alaska quite a bit. And while I was with the School of Natural Resources and Ag Sciences, I decided maybe it's time to grow up and get my PhD. So I started studying soils while I was working full time, and almost got done before all of the funding fell out of the world in Alaska agriculture. And so in 2011, when just around when ARS, the USDA's Ag Research Service Station, was leaving, and our ag sugar daddy for ag research was leaving as well. That was when there was no more funding. And so I shifted over to consulting work and was a soil scientist there for 5 years. Then transitioned to the Division of Ag as the coordinator for the statewide farm-to-school program. And did that for about a year and a half. And then this opportunity came along to be the director, and I couldn't pass it up, so jumped on it, and here I am. No, I never planned on this. None of my degrees, well, none of my undergrad or graduate degree was anything close to this. But the really cool thing is that all my work experience in Alaska, regardless of with whom, has all kind of led to here. I feel really well prepared for this position.
So, 15 years ago when you first came to Alaska, how did that happen? Like, did you always know that you wanted to visit Alaska? Was it just a good job opportunity, or how'd that work out?
It was always a dream to be in Alaska. And my husband and I, at the time, decided, you know, we both wanted to move up professionally, and we were in a very, very rural community in North Carolina. And his father had just recently passed, and so we weren't really super tied down anywhere. And so we decided, well, either we're going to have to move to Raleigh or Durham or Chapel Hill to do what we want to do and advance things, or we could just do something totally different. And I'd come up the year before in the summer and fished with some family friends. And felt like Alaska was a place I'd always been homesick for and had never visited. And so
it's amazing. I guess it's not amazing, but I just have to interrupt you to say how many people – it would be really curious for someone to do a survey to find out how many people move to Alaska after a fishing trip to Alaska. Seriously. Because even of my guests on Ag Matters, when I asked that show, well, I first came up on a fishing trip. I'm like, seriously? I hear that from everybody.
But, well, we were in Southeast, and it was just amazing. And I was just I had to go, and I came back to North Carolina, and my husband's only request was, please come home. because you know, our daughter and him. And so I did, but I didn't stop talking about it. And so When we finally decided we'd come up, we both knew we both had to have jobs before
sure.
we got here.
Yeah.
And so he was an attorney. And so we both started looking for work. And
were you working in the extension arena
I
at
wasn't,
that time?
I wasn't. Okay. I was teaching at a community college.
Okay.
I was an instructor.
Yeah.
So all the ologies and chemistries and stuff like that.
Okay.
Lots of science nerd stuff.
Yeah.
And then yeah, and I was the first to get a job offer. So
okay.
we hit Palmer, and then once I had that, then he was able to get a position as well.
Yeah.
So
15 years ago, you were working on that farm as an employee, is that? And
yeah.
now you're running it.
Yep, that's kind of how it works.
Man, that is cool. That is cool. So let's talk about that. I think a lot of people are familiar with the farm that's gone by so many different names.
Yes.
And we're calling it today the Matt Nuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center?
Correct.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, gold
All
star for
those.
Amy.
I know.
Okay.
I know. The acronym is a little MEFIC, kind of sounds like maybe a skin disorder.
I'm
I don't
not
know,
sure I can make
yeah.
a good t-shirt for that.
See, I can't even think of a good thing with it. But yes,
yeah.
that is what it is. Because we are still, you know, a working farm. We're still
Absolutely.
An experiment farm. But we're really focusing on extension as well.
Good.
And so that's kind of our as we look forward, we're looking at extension. And
good.
So we, in acknowledgement of that future forward direction, we're including
extension
that
in
work in the title as well.
Good, good. So for someone who hasn't been to the farm before, let's paint a picture for what it looks like, acreage, size, location. What
sure.
are we talking about here?
So we're talking about we are just on the northeast corner of behind the hospital.
Yep.
And the hospital actually sits on land that was the farms at one time.
Okay.
We are wedged north of the Matanuska Matanuska Lake State Recreation Area.
Right.
And we're south of the Matsu College.
Right.
We are east of New Trunk Road.
Yep.
And we are west of Crevasse Moraine kind of trail
yep,
system.
Trail system, okay.
So we're kind of wedged in there. We're about 907 acres.
Wow.
80 acres is all lake.
Okay.
We don't have any flowing water, but,
okay.
you know, most of those lakes are connected underground
sure.
anyway. And then we have about 220 acres of either facility land or pasture land or hay pastures. That are fields. And then the joke is if there isn't a field, it's because and it's remained a forest, it's because it's too steep. So,
oh, okay.
So
yeah,
all
there
the
are
flat,
some hills there. Yep.
There's a lot. So we're geographically, we're part of just the Matanuska Glacier Eskers. So like lots of moraine, really cool geography and
yeah.
Geology out there. We have several facilities that have been there since the 1917 era, which is when we
wow.
started. So we're over 100 years old.
Wow.
So there's some historic
land grant,
buildings.
Land grant university, right?
We are part of the land grant. We were granted land through USDA from the railroad.
Okay.
So that was the very first one. Not the best soils in the entire area,
okay.
which is kind of funny. They put the station more for transportation location
okay.
as opposed to like finding the best soils.
Oh, interesting.
So we have okay soils, but
okay.
I wouldn't say that we have the best soils in the valley at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're kind of a soil snob, aren't you?
I'm a little bit of a soil snob, but I'll take anything actually.
Yeah. Well, a quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Jody Anderson, the director of the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center. I think I most normally call it the Trunk Road Farm.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people call it the Trunk Road Farm.
A lot of people call it that, or they call it just the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The farm.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what is the farm. has taken a lot of budget hits over the last couple of years. That's been a hot topic. I think the previous director I had on the show last year, and I think, I'm not sure if I ever had Angie on the show. I might have, but the director even previous to that. But mm-hmm. hot topic always around the farm, I would say, in the last 5 to 10 years has been the budget, right? Sure. So we don't have to go into too many details, but tell us what's left, what is happening at the farm. Who's there in terms of positions and what their focus is on the farm and what we can expect to see coming out of the farm.
Sure. So I have a magical staff. Yes, I know. It seems unreal.
Of course you do.
And it is, as a matter of fact.
Do you have a bridge for sale too?
Yes, I have many bridges. actually, I have 2.5 staff.
Okay.
And then myself. And that's what runs the farm. And wow. by magical, indeed, these humans are.
Wow.
I have
pause for just a second.
Yes,
when
please.
You worked at the farm 15 years ago, how many people were employed there?
Well,
unfair question.
It is a little unfair, but in terms of like kind of the running of the farm,
yeah.
because there were those of us who were faculty and those were staff.
Sure.
So in terms of staff, there were more than 3.5 people.
Yeah, for
it.
Sure.
and then all the faculty that were there.
Yeah.
So just to kind of, I have an amazing mechanic that makes sure that everything that's supposed to move continues moving.
Yep.
I have another amazing mechanic who is my facilities man, who everything that isn't supposed to move, he makes sure keeps running but doesn't move. And with those two magic people, we can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then I have an admin that's half time with me.
Okay.
And she's magical.
Yeah.
Like, she can read my mind sometimes. So
that's the kind of admin staff to have.
That's the best. So with that being said, what's really interesting when I met with all of them individually when I first started, and we talked about kind of goals and dreams and, you know, in a perfect world, where would you
sure.
like to see the farm in a year, 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah.
Every single one of them wants things to happen out there.
Yeah.
They're just tired of maintaining it to maintain it.
Right.
Just to keep it running. So
yeah.
really our direction is very forward thinking. It's very probably somewhat ridiculous, but it'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
I told everyone that like this winter I'm sitting a lot because I have to get a lot of things done and kind of lined up. And
yeah.
then this spring I'm out of my chair and I'm going to be doing as much as I possibly can to pull the community awareness into the farm.
Good.
And to actually start working on we're bringing potatoes back, for
Good.
Example. We're going to have 240 varieties of potatoes. We're going
wow.
to – this is a collaboration with Rob at the PMC in
Great.
The Division of Agriculture. And Rob and I are very excited about the potential collaborations.
Good.
And our goal this year is moving forward in small steps that are inexpensive to both of us
okay.
that can have a nice bang for the buck.
Sure.
So looking at bringing potatoes back, which is huge,
yeah,
and doing them in a demonstration style. So having maybe 3 to 5 hills per variety.
Okay.
All these varieties are tradable and sellable. So none of these are, you know, restricted by any means.
Okay.
So they're open to the public. And then instead of just having a demonstration plot and planting potatoes and then people drive by and point and that's
yeah.
how there is, right? But actually encouraging people to come participate, to learn
okay.
as we go.
Yeah.
So a lot of the cooperative extension classes and a lot of classes that I've taught in the past, we kind of all have an expectation of the learner. It has a level of knowledge at a certain point. But the reality is there are a lot of people who look at grass in their backyard and think, God, I really like to make a garden here, but I have no idea what to do next.
Absolutely.
And so this is what we'll be doing. So our Facebook page is just going to be every week there'll be what's happening on the farm kind of thingy. And, you know, on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, if you want to learn how to set up an irrigation system,
okay.
come on out and watch us or – you know, whatever. And so the idea is to have these kind of teachable moments all the time from very beginning to very end.
Awesome.
And that is including not just our potatoes, which is – it's not really a variety trial. It's more of a demonstration project.
Yeah.
But for our variety trials, we're going to be doing the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's – something that I wasn't aware of growing up or my agriculture background, but you threw out that number, 240 varieties of potatoes. And most people see, what, probably four or five varieties in the grocery store. They've seen a russet potato, they've seen a red potato, a yellow potato, maybe some of those little purple potatoes or something. But when you talk about 240 varieties, it's like, holy crap.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, there, yeah.
And there's so many unique, different, you know. And I tell you what, some of the best potatoes I've ever eaten have come out of those demonstration gardens, right? Because they're these varieties that aren't commercial.
Right.
Nobody's selling them.
Yep.
But you try it and it's like the butter's already on it.
Yes,
or, you know,
exactly.
The flavor in these potatoes is amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So is that what you guys are, those 240 that you're growing, are they, is there any pattern amongst those varieties? Are they just a bunch of different, are they ones we know that grow well in Alaska? Or
they're part of the collection that the PMC has.
Yeah.
And so we're making sure that we're saying 240 because that's about how many unrestricted varieties we have.
Okay.
And so we don't want to put something there that we have an agreement with another university for growth that could just walk off. We don't want that. But
well, I'm going to interrupt you there.
No, go ahead.
Why would a potato variety be restricted? Let's talk about that a little bit because I'm thinking, what?
Like, well, I mean, you know, they're copyrighted.
I was going to say, are
basically
they patented?
They're kind of a patent, yeah. And so plus some of them aren't ready for release yet. Some of them are still in their trial phase and stuff like that.
Okay.
So these are open varieties that have been available or could be available to anyone, anywhere.
Yeah.
But we have them up here already. We used to grow them at the farm year after year after year. And then as budgets and time changed and personnel changed, that collection was only housed at the PMC instead of having it in dual places.
Yeah.
So bringing it back to the farm is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. All of our product, all of the, you know, harvest will be donated to the food bank.
Great.
So, we'll be doing that as well with our variety trials.
Very
harvest.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Cool.
Yeah.
So more potato happenings at the farm in 2019.
Very exciting.
Yeah. I remember potato taste tests at the farm way back in the day when I first got to Alaska.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So in addition to potatoes, another thing that you're known for, we've talked about soil a little bit, potato involvement, but you're pretty famous for your compost work. Is there going to be any exciting compost stuff at
the
farm?
I will be starting compost up again at the farm. Looking at different opportunities for composting demonstrations. And
good.
At this point, we're really looking kind of at the demonstration level again, you know, from start to finish kind of concepts where inviting people to just be and hang out and watch and ask questions and, you know, that sort of thing. But, we definitely will be incorporating a lot more of that sort of thing out to the farm as well.
Good. You're such a compost guru. I think compost is so intimidating to so many people. They might try it and they end up with this really stinky pile or they, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong with compost. But I've watched your presentation a couple of times and I just go, oh, that's what you do. Like, so I'm glad to hear that that'll be a part of the future of the farm. There's livestock on the farm, right?
Yeah, we have beef cattle.
Yeah.
We have Red Angus. We've kind of phased out the Black Angus, but there's kind of one straggler. But we're moving into Red Angus, and we're keeping it small. They're not a part of research at this particular time, and I'm not really sure where that's heading.
Okay.
And you know, as magical as our mechanic is, he's also our herd master.
Right.
And that particular magician is also getting older.
Yeah.
And so he's not quite as excited.
He's looking at his next chapter, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to start like building up a herd when he's like,
No,
I don't want to build a herd. So we're kind of that's one of our, you know, one of the directions I would love to see us move into is more of the kind of the whole pasture work where you're doing, you know, livestock rotation, with mm-hmm. crop rotation, mm-hmm. with forage rotation.
Yeah.
Just as, again, as demonstrations. Absolutely. I mean, not necessarily do we need to have research behind it, but yeah. But I'd like that to happen. And yeah. that's a direction I want to head. But really, until we can afford an animal person, yeah. you know, that really is just doing all animals. I mean, people come to visit the farm, and I had homeschool tour this fall time, and this little girl, every corner we turned around, she was bummed out, just physically like, oh. And I said, well, what's the matter? And she goes, where are the chickens? Oh. I mean, like, she was just like, it's a farm, lady. You're supposed to have the chickens.
Where are the chickens? Where's the chickens? Horse? Right? Where's the sheep?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they were also upset that the cows weren't bright red when I told them we had red cows.
Oh.
I said, you were expecting fire engine red. And they said, you said red. I'm like, oh.
Another reason to get more kids on farms,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, another quick reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And in the studio with me this morning is Jody Anderson, the director of the Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center. So we've talked about a little bit about livestock and soil and potatoes and what else. You know, the last time I was at the farm, it was a walking tour, and we were talking about all the trail system and all the different assets of the farm. So what else is going on out there? What else can we expect to see in 2019?
Sure. So we have built a new parking lot for trail access, and it's on the north side of the MEA substation. So it's above the farm. If you follow Old Trunk Road up the hill, and just to the right. It's almost a 2-acre lot.
Oh, wow.
And so we have a really nice parking lot, which does lead access to the Greenbelt Trail System.
Okay.
So the Greenbelt Trail System is 33 miles of trails.
Wow.
So you can basically walk from Trunk Road to Crevasse Moraine and never be on the road.
Wow.
It's pretty magical.
Yeah.
So we're still allowing access. We have, however, kind of closed off the core area of the farm to trailhead parking and trailhead use.
Okay.
Too much loss, too many shenanigans.
Yeah.
And we are doing research up there. We are doing animal research.
Yeah.
Fish and Game is doing research there. So, it's nutritional research, and what you don't want is you don't want stressed animals when you're trying to figure out their digestive patterns. And so dogs, whether they're on leashes or off leashes, really stress out the animals.
Absolutely.
So we've closed the core down for lots of different reasons.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are frustrated and upset by that. And I just let them know that they're still able to get on the trails, you
Absolutely.
Know, and the Greenbelt Trail System is pretty amazing.
33 miles of trail?
33 miles of unmotorized trail.
Yeah.
So, you know, this wintertime, skis and fat bikes and, you know, and
snowshoeing
and just walking, you know, it's just gorgeous out there. So we are a working farm, and those are working roads that we call trails.
Yeah.
But, you know, aside from that, I mean, that's really a huge connection to the community that a lot of people know us just kind of as a trailhead.
Right, right.
And so that's happening this summer, you know, all the time. We're always experiencing lots of trail users, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Another thing that's happening or will be happening is the last Wednesday of each month since October, I'm doing a lead tour of the farm. It's open and free to the public. We changed the times because of daylight.
What?
I know, it's so weird. So like this past week we had one, and it was at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Okay.
But it's still, you know, we're not going to do headlamp tours. But for those who are, you know, want to see the cows or need to get back in the core area, then you're welcome to come on these tours. And, you know, and I take people around, and we, you know, I answer any questions and tell them a little bit about things that are happening, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We're continuing our partnership with Alaska Pacific University and Spring Creek Farm. And so
you read my mind. I was going to ask
about
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the Alaska Tilth Project, which is a huge deal, they'll be using all four of our greenhouses this year.
Oh, wow.
And really expanding that. one of our nutrition specialists who is working with the SNAP and WIC program, mm-hmm. and with the Alaska Tilth Project is really excited. The state is really very supportive of the project,
yeah.
and so as is UAF, and the food not only goes to SNAP and WIC recipients and for teaching purposes at those locations, but it's also to the children's lunchbox in the summertime.
Right. Yeah.
So there's an opportunity to really get fresh food out to the community and people who may not have access to it normally or it's just more difficult to get to.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
We're continuing that partnership and actually ramping it up a little bit.
Sounds
which
like
is
it,
pretty
yeah.
exciting. We're also we do have the partnership with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, mm-hmm. where they're doing their moose and caribou research on site,
yep.
which is great. And then the collaborations with the PMC and the mm-hmm. Division of Agriculture, also working on parallel variety studies with the Georgeson Botanical Garden up at UAF and with the Cooperative Extension Service there. So and then additionally working on as many things as we possibly
sure.
can.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm in – conversations with a couple individuals that I really hope this works for. But what I'd like to start, and this was something that the previous director had thought about, was an artisan residence
Ooh.
Program. And so what I'm hoping for is someone who's very organized to kind of take the art side and that offer art at the farm once a month and it be a variety of different things, like not all painting, you
sure.
know, or not all just one thing, but,
yeah.
you know, having movement class or
yeah.
having – and because we have distance delivery opportunities, so you can sit in a classroom setting and get information from outside,
yeah.
really using that as an opportunity for a teachable weekend or maybe a workshop type
awesome.
Thing for art once a month starting next year sometime.
Cool.
So that should be good.
Yeah.
Working also on developing kind of a volunteer corps or a docent corps so that we can have people who could give guided walks to different parts of the closed area of the farm.
Okay.
So that we know that it's kind of in a controlled setting
sure.
and that people have been trained and they know where to walk or where not to walk
yeah.
based on our experiments, but at the same time giving people access to parts of the farm that are currently off access.
Yeah.
So we're working on a lot of different things. In addition, trying to figure out how to pay for it all.
Right. Yeah, well, it's that time of year, right? The legislature's going to get going again here soon, and everyone will have budget on the mind, and it's a little bit scary. But, you know, we'll see what this new administration has in store for
Absolutely.
Us. And hopefully they recognize the benefit and the potential of that farm. I mean, 900 acres, it's probably one of the biggest farms in the Mat-Su Valley, if not the biggest, right?
Right.
Except for some of the acreage out at Point McKenzie, maybe.
Right. I would
yeah.
say that's probably.
Yeah.
Better,
and there's an incredible opportunity for additional research. I mean, I'm just thinking of all these kind of hot crops like
yes.
hemp and rhodiola and peony and all these things that could be happening.
So Rob and I are talking about working on some rhodiola demos.
Good. Yeah.
Actually. And then hemp is off limits to us at
right.
this particular point, but
the new farm bill legislation,
right,
yeah.
I have not heard from my supervisors
okay.
as to how we're moving in that direction
okay.
because it just passed last
sure.
Friday.
Yeah. Oh, well, come on.
I know, right? Why haven't we decided yet?
Yeah.
But prior to last Friday, our answer has always been no.
Yeah, you can't touch it.
We can't touch it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that we're going to be able to respond to some of the community's requests.
Good. Yeah, that's great.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you can only, yeah, you're only in charge of so much, and we understand that. But Jody, it's been a pleasure having you on Ag Matters Radio this morning. I'm excited to hear about the new things happening at the farm, and we look forward to watching that unfold. Facebook, the best way to keep it up to date?
Facebook is the best way to keep up with us because
okay.
we can make changes to that and do things very, very quickly. So,
okay.
yep, there's always something happening.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks
Have a great
day. Thanks
for
having me. It's been great.
Cool.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.